Abe, just starting the meetup here at South by Southwest. As always, doesn't matter how many people show, just nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. But I want to encourage you to put out to your community, I'm here to help. Give advice, but also make introductions to help facilitate your community of people that want to help each other, know people that help each other. I do this in 200 cities. Every city I'm in, this is my fifth city in fifth days. I did Naples, Boca, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, now Austin. And the purpose at first was just to help people. And I also like to use my time in a valuable way of either being that person to help people or asking other people to help me, pulling up a seat next to me, asking people to pull up a seat next to them. But one thing that I've learned, and you know, you never know what extra value you're gonna get by doing this, and it's really relative to being the chairman of Napoleon Hill. He went around the world and found out what the greatest leaders in the world, what was their playbook to success. It's the actual basis of that book, Connected to Goodness, my podcast, The Playbook, is based off of learning the playbook of success. This was the reverse, Think and Grow Rich. I'm in 200 cities asking, what are you listening for? What do you need help with? And I'm the only one out there, because I'm the only one that does it, go live every day, do meetups in 200 cities, that I know, no matter where you are, what age you are, we're the common denominators of what people really are listening for. And then I use my skill set of doing research and finding out some of the best frameworks, steps, procedures in order to help facilitate what I didn't get growing up as an entrepreneur, some step-by-step way of evaluating things to make the best choices for my behavior in the enjoyment of the consistent, everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of my own potential. Too many young people, especially because it's a young crowd, they're more worried about what people think they are than what they are. And they're not comfortable or confident in who they are yet, so they're stuck in this energy gap between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. And that interference will slow you down in an exponential way, and you'll wonder why you're not where you want to be, instead of looking and seeing why and how to get to where you do want to be. All right, first question.
My question is regarding time. So time is your love language. You talk about 10 cities in 10 days, 5 cities in 5 days, etc. Can you even just take me through some of the subtleties of success of like the past 24 hours to give people an idea of how we compound time?
Yeah, so, you know, I notice in my non-negotiable behavior, half of my life, half of a day, only guarantee is 24 hours a day. That's the only guarantee that you have. And people forget that. If I ask you what's going to happen tomorrow, tell me one thing that you guarantee will happen tomorrow, except if you get 24 hours. If you could, I could make billions of dollars and not share it with everyone. But you just can't. But people forget the only guarantee of tomorrow is you have 24 hours to use. Unless it's the last day of your life, you'll be cheap. Everyone has the same deal in the human experience. So dividing my day and studying, as I said, the non-negotiables of my sleep, 8 hours, my health, my family, my finance, my faith, study of relativity, and study of time. People lose out on the gift that they're given, the guarantee that they're given. How am I going to use 24 hours? Well, I'm cutting it in half because I know non-negotiable non-circumstances exist in my half of my day. No problem. I don't have to worry about whether the sun is hot or cold or the rain or delays. I don't care. I know that no matter what, I'm getting half of my day exponentially aligned, accelerating towards where I want to be or better. So in the last 24 hours, the number one thing in the subtleties of success is I study time and relativity. They're closely tied together because your time is relative to what? What's important to you. And so I study time and I look at the last 24 hours and it's, let's just say it's noon here in Austin. Well, I know that's 1 o'clock in, first of all, the East Coast where I do a lot of things. I also know that noon is 9 a.m. on the West Coast. So now we're already dealing with time and relativity. Because 9 a.m. is relative to 1 p.m., things are different. People are more available, less available, hungry, not hungry, whatever it may be. So a lot of people don't even give any attention, any intention to the relativity of time according to the only guarantee they have tomorrow, which means it's the only thing that you can plan for. You can't plan for rain tomorrow or sun, because it'll screw up your plan, because you can't guarantee it's going to be rainy or sunny. You can guess, but we've all been victim to that. You can't tell me your plane's going to be on time tomorrow. No. You can guess. There's some subtleties to preparing by looking up the consistency of the plane being on time, or how consistent the weather has been, or whatever it is, to statistically help you. And these are the subtleties. So if we look at noon yesterday, and I was on stage at Aspire, I planned out every minute. I have every day 4 one-on-one coaching calls. I have business advisory people. I had all these people meeting me where I was. I had meetings with Gary Vee, Jeff Bensner, Reed Bergman. I had Cody Sanchez. We had Tim Story. I probably did 50 different meetings from noon until midnight last night, East Coast time, because I was in Fort Lauderdale. I had people meeting me and scheduled 5 minutes. I did a meetup so I could build more of our community. Okay, you guys should consider going to our private networking group. We have thousands of people guaranteed that want to help you, what, make money, they want to buy from you, sell for you. Everyone's curated to help one another. Old people, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, anyone I do business with is in that private networking. Anish is in there. So anyway, my LinkedIn agent and expert of LinkedIn. So
what are some of your non-negotiables?
So my non-negotiables are number one, sleep. So no matter what, my number one non-negotiable, a third of my life, minimum of 8 hours on my sleep. Then I have another 4 hours of non-negotiables, minimum of an hour on my health, working out, stretching, balance, cardio, whatever it is, meditation, minimum a day. Then family, minimum amount of time for the people that are most relative to me, my wife, my son, my three daughters, my mom, who's passed, and I still text her every day that I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you, and I appreciate you. You should be telling your mom that every day.
Absolutely.
It'll heal your relationship. Even if you have a good one, it'll make it better. Faith, spend a minimum of time on faith. Finance, at the very minimum, I spend a minimum of 10 minutes checking every account that I have. I want to know the pulse of my money. So unless you're looking, so many people are afraid to look at their account, whether it's high or low. I used to be literally depressed if my bank account went down $100 and I was worth $100 million. And I'd be excited if it went up $100, even though I had all that money. So I started studying the pulse of my account so I wasn't in some sort of wrong perception of success. Then the study of time, minimum, study of relativity, study of faith, all of these equal 12 hours. Then I'm more capable of practicing the prioritization process that is circumstantial, because I know besides 24 hours, none of you have been able to give me a guarantee what's going to happen. You all agree with me, I can guarantee you 24 hours unless it's the last day of your life. Then you'll be cheated. I'll guarantee that too. So this is very simple, but it is a framework that helps keep your mindset, your heart set, and your handset in the divine direction of where you want to be. Not where we want you to be, not where your mom wants you to be, where you want to be or better. And so in the subtleties, the most subtle thing that I did beyond noon on stage, then 12:30 at the Diamond Launch with signing and, you know, the step and repeat, and then right into a meetup, then right into meetings with my coaching clients, Gary Vee, Reed Bergman, Dan Fleischman, Jeff Bensner, all of those. Then going right over to the VIP dinner, 166 people, then to midnight, making sure I knew no energy left at all. I could not think. I could barely walk. If you saw me, you would say, man, I didn't know David drank. It's worse. So I literally tried to think about, like, I couldn't pack. I couldn't. Only question I had in the last 24 hours at midnight was to Nick, what time do we have to leave for the airport? My wife called. I'd already done my minimum of 30 minutes with her in the day. I'm like, I can't talk. I gotta go to bed. Passed out within 5 minutes on my unwinding routine. Woke up, made sure my daughter got to the Fort Lauderdale airport. I got to the Miami airport. But here's the subtleties that nobody would have done. I checked the flights, or had my team check the flights. Most people, because I had to be there till midnight, most people would have taken the first flight from Miami to LAX, and they would have said, oh, I'll get in at 12:30, the first direct flight. I'll get in at 12:30 LA, A time. Now I live in Orange County. I have to drive. So at best, I'm back in the office at 1:30. Or I could fly through Dallas and get into Orange County at 1:30 and at best be in the office at 2 o'clock, which is already 5 o'clock East Coast time. So I'm thinking productivity-wise, that doesn't seem... What's going on between me in Miami or Fort Lauderdale and home? Because I know I want to be home at 5 o'clock. Because I want my son to think it's a normal day. Like any other dad, he just didn't see me in the morning. But I'm going to be home at 5. He has a golf tournament, pick him up from dinner, all this stuff that means a lot to him, and I'll get my minimum of 30 minutes a day in with him. I realized South by Southwest, they offered me to speak. My coaching clients are here, my partners are here. Luber's in Dubai, he's the only partner that wasn't available. Skinny Confidential, the Bostics are here. And I was like, shit, what's the first flight from Miami to Austin? Oh, we can land at 10:30, Austin time. Because of the time change.
Oh, yeah.
And it's most likely, I looked up the history of the flight, most likely because of the time in the weekday, it's early that flight, if there's good weather. Looked up the weather, good weather was planned, statistics are on my favor. I land at 10 o'clock. I then say, okay, set this at 11. I got to meet the UT Texas guys at noon, Bostic at 12:30. I'm going to ask some of the UT guys if they want to come with me to Bostic's. Meet with Anish, he probably would have met them too from his business. Then I have coaching clients. Then I got to have an IG live at 2:30, be at the airport at 3, fly out at 4 so I can land at 5. Also, by the way, that flight on Southwest is most likely early statistically as well with good weather. So in the day, most people are sitting there not getting their shit done and going, oh, I wasted my day. Maybe they listen to a movie or a podcast or at best did emails. They could put my today, which is usually a wasted day for other people, against what you do today, productivity at South by Southwest. That's the subtleties of success. And if you do that 7 days a week, and it's not just my workout, like all these things are planned. 7 days a week. 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday.
I do have a question.
Yes, thank you. That's why we're here.
How do you balance, like, you're on the road a ton, doing a bunch of work, like, how do you balance that with personal?
Yeah, so no balance, no balance. Harmony. You can't balance your day. So if you can't balance one day, how are you going to balance your life? So you want to harmonize with circumstance. Because it's circumstance that causes you not to be with your family. Circumstances cause you not to be healthy. Circumstances are what fuck you up. And so the way that we take circumstance out of the equation is to have, for me, it's half of my day every day is non-negotiable. And I start with sleep, because that already takes care of a third of my life. I want to be, if I am not already, one of the world's greatest sleepers. People asked me last night, 11:30, how the fuck is he still standing? How is he on? How does he have so much energy? Because we all have the exact same amount of energy. I just interfere with it less than all of you. My whole strategy is I am going to react to fear is omnipresent, struggle is omnipresent, but I'm going to react to fear quickly. I'm not going to deny it, go over it, under, through it, around it. I'm not going to resist it. So you see, you guys ever read Let Them by Mel Robbins? She talks about, she did the research. I can't verify it, but it sounds right. When you have an emotion, like a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, you get a 6-second burst of chemicals that fuck you up. It's cortisol. 6-second burst of cortisol when you're worried. And it takes 90 to 180 seconds for that 6 seconds of chemicals to dissipate out of your system. So if I get pissed, someone cuts me off, boom, 6 seconds, chemical. Now I react in the resistance way, lying, cheating, manipulating, yelling, whatever, 6 seconds, 6 seconds. So let's say that before I even done anything, I just kept reacting in the wrong way. I now have 60 seconds, which now equals about 900 seconds to dissipate it. That's how people spend weeks, years, months out of. So in this idea, my sleep, my family, my health, my faith, my finance,
the study of relativity and the study of time take up half of my life. But I narrow it down to, how do I know it takes up half of my life? Because it takes 12 hours every day, except for the last day I'll be cheating. And so I've taken what screws all of us up, circumstance, out of the equation. And then I know the only way that I maximize circumstance is to learn how to prioritize with circumstance, like not accelerating in the wrong direction by spending minutes and moments in anger. I get pissed all the time. And sometimes I don't spend minutes and moments. And it's very risky when you impact people, because if they're in an interaction with you and you're not who they think you are, meaning not human, oh my God, Dave Meltzer's Buddha. You know, when he talks, I'm at peace. That guy probably never fights with his wife. Right. Fuck. They see you, you know, playing tennis, and you're, you know, a 13-year-old boy inside, and your wife kicks your ass, and you're like, I'm taking my racket and going home. And the people on the other court see that. They're like, look how full of shit he is. Mr. Buddha, Mr. Connected to Goodness. No, I'm fucking human, and I have testosterone, and my wife embarrassed me in front of everybody by kicking my ass and talk shit about it, and I hadn't eaten, and I was tired, and so I reacted like a 4-year-old, and now I got some dude thinking I'm a hypocrite, which I was for minutes and moments, a hypocrite. People take snapshots of you. That's okay. Agree with them by saying, at that time, just like when people don't want to do something, they say, obviously, it's not the right time or the right place. When it is, let me know. It's just a snapshot. Your time, emotion, and value will change every instant that you make a decision or you come to an agreement. So if you're not preparing in a relationship for time, emotion, and value changing, you're fucked. You're really screwed. That's why most of my agreements, I have that overlap agreement, it's non-binding. I'm a lawyer, right? There are circumstances. You buy a house, you got to have binding agreement. You sign a lease, binding agreement. But most of the stuff that I do, like giving you your money back, why would I want to bind you into something? Because your life will change. You tell me today you want to join my networking group. You're 100% sure you got $50,000 in the bank. What's 500 bucks? Time of value and emotion changes. You need your $500 back. I don't want to be the guy. That's not my purpose, to say, sorry, we had an agreement. You binding. No, that's not what I teach. That's not what I'm about. I'm like, dude, here's this back. And do you need a little bit of extra? Because I know what it's like to have a sick mom. I know what it's like not to be able to buy food. I know all of that. And too many people, they ruin everything. You know, look at two of my friends that are suing each other for $100 million. You think that's going to be good for either of them? What if they just said, hey, time, emotion, and value has changed. Forgive me, I'll forgive you. Does that sound fair? And maybe we can move together in a different way, considering the time, emotion, and value that changes. Instead of spend all our money on lawyers, elevating all the snapshots that we know about each other, that we're human, that are true, but we're human.
Did you tell them that?
One of them I met. They're both friends, but I was just with one of them. But I see it all the time. That's how I lost everything. My neighbor, right? Time, emotion, and value change, circumstances and snapshots. Everybody got involved in the neighborhood, and I ended up losing $100 million. Not because of what he did, but because of how I reacted and what I did. If I would have had my philosophy, first of all, I couldn't have had it, and I would have just remained making money. I would have died. But if I would be me now, like, I would have made more money. I'd be at $200 million from that happening, even though there was no evidence, or the evidence was contrary to that deal working out. I know exactly how I could have worked that deal out, and not factually, just mindset and reaction wise. I know what I would have done, not factually.